Good morning. Today is Tuesday, January the 30th. Joining us this morning is the one-armed bandit, Mark Wheatley.
Good morning. Good morning.
You know, I sense you can't even tie a tie.
Yeah, you know, it's not as easy as it used to be. I'm learning to do a lot of things with my left hand and one-handed. So
your signature is now officially unofficial?
Yeah, unofficial. Thank goodness for the electronic signature.
Oh, boy, that's just got to be... That's worse than, like, spraining a thumb.
Yeah.
You want to share with everybody what we're talking about? Yeah, I mean, so you I may as well a, have full
sure,
full public
since,
shame on
since
this
we're
one.
On the radio, yeah. I had a tragic barbecuing accident on New Year's Day. I slipped on my patio and broke my humerus bone in my right arm, and so ended up having to go down to Santa Rosa and have surgery and have a brace put in to put it back together. So I'm almost out of the sling. About two more weeks, and I can actually lift more than a pound now. So.
And then a week later, we push you out of the nest and see if you can fly?
That's it. That's the broken wing syndrome. You're right.
Oh. Our quote this morning comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson. It has nothing to do with barbecues. People seem not to see that their opinion of the world is also a confession of character. How's that for kind of cool?
Boy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh. Now, we heard this morning Erin doing her comment about people running for political office, asking, you know, for folks to be able to step up because of the turnover in the city council. The fact that there's a couple of seats that are open, how does staff perceive that?
Well, you know, staff stays out of the mix on that. Trepidation
or excitement or, you know, wait and see?
It's wait and see. You know, you kind of see who's going to step up. There's possibility of one or two council members have indicated they may be stepping off the council. And so you hope for members of the community to step up and come forward and, put their hat in the ring and go through the process. So, it was always having been there before in my previous life. You never know who's going to show up. You know, and sometimes you're thankful that there's some criteria for.
Well, what is the base level? If someone is inclined, other than residency, which I would imagine
right.
is probably the number
Correct.
One issue, what else is the base requirement?
You have to, you got to fill out the papers, collect the signatures. If you're going to put a statement in the voter pamphlet, all those steps you have to go through if you're going to form a committee. I mean, some communities it's more a little bit more kickback than Arcata was particularly brutal some cycles just because there's a lot of folks. I think I ran against 5, 7, and 9 people along the way. So, and then you got to run the gauntlet, and there's a lot of debates in that process. So, some other cities maybe not so much, but
if you win,
yeah.
Yeah.
The most,
which might be perceived as worst case scenario if
right.
some of us were in that. Yeah. Well, if you win, okay, I would think that's not the time for somebody to have the internal, okay, now what moment.
Yeah, that's true. As well as the fact that the next morning after you win, you have to realize that you just won election to a seat that you now represent everyone that was supporting you and everyone that was opposing you, and your job now is to represent everyone. So it's an immediate shift in mindset and gear.
Now,
so.
I always ask this of the, I think I even asked you of this one, and you kind of had the old deer in the headlight. Are you hoping for, or is it easier to have, leaders or representatives?
I think it's important for council members to have demonstrate a level of leadership. I mean, if they're going to step up and make all the decisions in terms of policy decisions and fiscal decisions for your community. I think they need to have not only a good head on their shoulders, but they have to have, you know, the ability to, you know, debate. They have to weigh, you know, both sides of the equation and hear the other side, and then move forward with their decision. So I think the biggest mistake, I think some newly elected folks, that their minds are already made up the minute they walk in to the dais, and you know they're not open to hearing the public dialogue or the debate, and then that's unfortunate.
See, to me now, you've mushed the two.
Yeah.
A representative for me is just, okay, it's mob rule.
Yeah.
In its most basic,
right.
Basic essence, right? Okay, majority wins, minority gets stepped on. Okay. And then we reconfigure our majority and minority on topic by topic by topic, and I'm there as their mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
A leader is independent thought and is willing to take the slings and arrow, or arrows, as the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be a position that the majority wants, but it's the right position. So you take the arrows, you take the phone calls, you get beat up in the grocery store aisles. In the parking lots, you have 25-minute conversations and things of that nature that go along with being more independent rather than just being that mouthpiece.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't think you can afford five of those on a five-person city council.
Those make for long meetings.
Yeah.
Those make for long meetings.
But robust debate, yeah. And perhaps information is then
true
presented that true. Wouldn't otherwise.
Allowing room to have everybody have their opinion put on the table and then debate it and then land on a decision.
Go forth to the next.
There yep. You go.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley. Mark, the challenge, I would think, as this time of the year rolls around, you're kind of in the middle of this fiscal year, trying to figure out what's going on, any law changes that may have gone into effect. You're starting to do the preliminary budget work for the upcoming year. You haven't had the governor's revise. Is this a time of a lack of surety? As you're trying to kind of make it through the next month, month and a half or so, so you get to a point then when things are a little bit more known?
It's kind of that like hump day kind of time of year, you know? You're kind of at your mid-year budget. You're right. The legislature's got two more weeks to come up with who knows what in terms of new bills being introduced. The newly approved bills are about to roll out, and all the new mandates are coming your way, and then and/or the ones that could have become nightmares are still alive, and they're coming back at you again. So you got to keep your eyes open for that. And then you go through the mid-year budget process internally. You start to look at goal setting for the upcoming fiscal year, and you start to move towards closure on what you can during the next. And it's also, of course, for us up here, because of the rainy season, things kind of slow down a little bit in terms of construction activities and things like that.
Other than the pothole.
Yeah, other than that, right. Yeah, you get to find all those new stormwater nightmares that you didn't want to know about.
Yeah, you mentioned goal setting, and I know that's an annual process, and I know that there's a tendency for those of us outside the big gray building to look in saying, oh yeah, meeting after meeting after meeting, that's how you justify your existence. Okay, fine. Goal setting. Does it change that much? Or is it more of a communication opportunity for you to share, okay guys, here are the new pressures that are coming down. do we still want to stay with our priority set from last year, or do we have to make some adjustments?
I think which
of those scenarios is more accurate?
I think it's being flexible and being opportunistic, because sometimes you'll have an opportunity. Like, for instance, we're looking at a couple of potential acquisitions because some willing landowners have expressed interest in selling some property that, you know, one could potentially be some parkland property for the city. And so it's not only taking advantage of those kinds of opportunities, but then there's, you know, new funding programs come into the mix, both on the federal and state front, and how can we capitalize on that? So yet there's things don't just happen, of course, overnight. So you kind of have to be strategic and be ready and be able to pounce on those opportunities when they happen. And then you know, the folly of goal setting is like, you know, well, here's our 15 pages of goals that we would like to do in our lifetime, instead of here's what we're going to actually get done in one fiscal year. And so trying to narrow that list down and prioritize and then, you know, present that from the staff perspective to council, knowing what council's priorities are and what they are looking to try and accomplish in that given year.
So goal setting, from Fortuna's definition at this point, is department heads?
Right now, we're in that early stage of we just did our mid-year budget. So we're looking at where we're at. We're right on track. We're a little bit ahead. I think the collection of some of the Measure E funds has put us, you know, in a good position. And so now we're trying to prioritize out work that we can get done. You know, it's also batching projects too, making it more cost effective to do stuff, in particular like street paving, street improvements, drainage improvements, sidewalk work, things like that. So, and our guys are seasoned veterans at that and really good at trying to do what they can to kind of identify those kinds of opportunities.
Can you do things like, I mean, you mentioned sidewalks, so let's say sidewalk repair, during a time like this where it may be damp, it's not really wet, can you or can your vendors move that quickly? And can you call up, pick a sidewalk maker, Inc., say, guys, we got a good week coming up here. I got the money to be able to punch this thing through. You've already gotten the bid approved. You know, if we give you another 5%, can you get this thing done this next week?
It's not optimal, but, you know, there are times when conditions warrant having to be responsive in a hurry.
Well, yeah, you get the job done during the off season for them. So,
right. But it's also that tricky task of it depends on the scale of the project too. And are you able to mobilize, able to do it? And, or, you know, if you're working with, like, we've got a couple big projects where, you know, working with Caltrans and transportation funding. So all those things, the environmental clearances, all those things got to all come together in that perfect storm world. And
no, this would be the small little ones that you guys have total control
on. Some of those things you got to do tonight because it's eroding at a rapid pace because of the rainfall that we're seeing.
Yeah, just quick little windows of opportunity, day or two to change out a sign, but you're relying with vendors rather than having it all in-house.
Right, and you know, things like this time of year, maybe this is the time of year when we're going around and taking a look at replacing our street lights and putting up new signs and things that you can do in foul weather. And so that's kind of what they're on right now.
Those go under deferred maintenance?
Non-roof.
Not,
and hopefully not too deferred for too long.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how some of that stuff, and I don't know if it's sneak up or it's just the sheer magnitude. And just the body of deferred is so much that it becomes fatiguing.
You know, we kind of have a rough schedule of an annual schedule of here's what we try and accomplish during that window, that window, that window. So there's somewhat of a schedule.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Sharp this morning with City Manager for Fortuna, Mark, and noted barbecue spaz, Mark Wheatley. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Lolita Cheese Factory, American Ag Credit, and REDEC. Mark, as you're looking at the second half of the year now, you said that the increased tax or premium sales tax, whatever however we want to describe it, is doing a little bit better than anticipated. Now, you guys haven't had an awful lot of new retail come into the town. I mean, there's been a couple, mm-hmm. certainly, but it's not like there's been a big boom driving it or it's a new vehicle sales. Just everybody lifting a little bit? Or are you kind of sitting back now going, you know, if this development happens and this one develops, and it's really kind of showing you what the future could quite probably be in Fortuna?
You know, I think for us, I think what we've seen is we've had, I think, three or four successful quarters of sales tax going up, you know, in the positive direction. And part of that is it is across all sectors. And then it's also the construction activity. You know, we've had the Open Door Clinic under construction. We're rebuilding Green's Pharmacy, you know, the McLean Community Center is under construction now. So, you know, and then, you know, mix in that some housing projects and just general, you know, construction activity that across all sectors, you know, you see in it in retail, gas, you know, food, all those things all add up. And that's been translates to a very positive for us. I think more so within the Fortuna community, even more so than at the county level. I think we've seen upwards of almost a 6-7% increase in the county. It's around 3-4.
So. Yeah, I would suspect that you guys are making it, McKinleyville is making it, and the other guys are kind of watching it. Yeah, it's just the general sense that I have, but mm-hmm. you know, I've been called a couple cents light in the past. So just kind of an overall feeling, but now you've got the big guy in the middle of the town that's just kind of sitting there too. That is the potential, not the road construction,
right.
Not the overpass, but the old mill site.
Right.
Now we've heard whispers over the last 7-8 years. Oh, so and so's going to be coming. Or did you hear da da da? Or this or that? What's the current status for public consumption of that site?
So the site is owned by the town of Scotia, and we've worked, you know, hand in hand with them on some entertaining some, you know, proposals that have come to them. We're looking at some of those opportunities. It is a former mill site, and in some ways it kind of wants to be a mill site again. And so we've got some developers that are looking at, you know, where can forest products be reinvigorated. And there's a, you know, the resources agency at the state just put out a study that talks about that, you know, emerging market opportunities, as well as taking a look at some of the reuse of former mill sites, and then some of the new value-added economy in terms of wood products. And then also, you know, where some of the CCCs might be able to, you know, expand their programs to do both restoration and forest product related activities. So I would argue that we actually are looking at all those collectively, and we have those opportunities all right there on that site. So we're excited that site could lend itself to be, you know, a mill site again.
It wouldn't have the same footprint, would it?
It wouldn't. It would not. And be a much more modernized, much more efficient site. small diameter hardwood type market. And then in addition, there could be, you know, some ancillary things that could be fit in around that too. And so, you know, we've definitely need some, you know, commercial industrial space, and that is where we would like to see some of that happen. So, you know, we're taking a big picture look at it right now, and we're working with a developer that's very interested, and he's doing his part, and we're trying to do our part.
Is there any way to accelerate the timeline on that, or it just is what it is?
It kind of is what it is in terms of, you know, he's lining up the financing on his side, which is a pretty protracted process and has been at it for several years. So we're working patiently with him. And then I think we're getting very close to being able to launch something collectively together. So
is the site clean?
It's an old mill site, so you know it's not majorly contaminated. There's certainly, you know, it's,
or can you, like, you cap it? And
yeah, keep, you can cap. Kind of, you know, the kind of the traditional kind of ways to deal with brownfield sites. So yeah.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:41. We will be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley. Mark, you came in with a big old laundry list, a lot of pieces of paper. How come?
They all fell out of my binder.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No, actually, I was just kind of reviewing some things. We have a measure, we've been talking about sales tax here, and the voters of Fortuna in 2016 passed a 3/4 cent sales tax measure for 8 years, and it's called Measure E. It's a general tax. And, last year was our first go-round with a oversight committee, and selected with them, and the council finally adopted and approved funding for a number of projects. So, you know, it fell into the categories of public safety, public works, and parks and rec. So, we got a new detective position, a POP officer, which is a, problem-oriented policing position. We were able to, secure equipment, the mobile data computers for the vehicles, some tasers, camera security system, funding for our canine. We also did some drainage improvements and street maintenance work. We put a slug of money into a funding program for a Hillside Creek project, which is another phase of a larger, broader watershed project. We're now in a position we're going to be able to leverage that funding against some FEMA funding, and that's looking very promising right now. And then on the Parks and Rec front, we had a couple positions that we were able to fund, and then some park security upgrades, a new mower, and some lighting for the ball fields.
Some of the deferred maintenance stuff.
Yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
Is what you're talking about.
It's not exotic. It's not pretty, but it's the sort of stuff that is just very difficult to fund. You know, funding programs don't support that day-to-day O&M kind of work, you know?
So can the community feel the difference? Are you getting feedback? Obviously, the two cops. It's going to be there. But
for sure.
Is there a sense that job well done, money well spent, our vote counted, and everybody is getting and realizing benefit from that?
I think the community has a sense of that. You know, we're just on that front end of it right now, so I think they're starting to see how this has played out and where that funding has been focused. We're also, conscious that, this is a voter supported initiative, and we want to make sure they understand where that funding is being put so that they can be, see where their tax dollars are going, and also, be supportive of here's what we asked for, here's what we got, and we're helping fund it. And so we're seeing that. I think over the next year or two, we're going to really see that. So
folks will be able to sense whether or not it was worth.
And with all kinds of funding, there's all kinds of, you know, things that come up. We happen to have a public meeting tonight at 6 at the council chambers, and it's for the community members to come forward and talk to the Measure E committee with ideas that they have that would be eligible for city-funded services or projects. You know, it's not a grant program. It's not come on down and here's our...
You gotta throw money away.
Yeah, it's not a gift of public funds. So it's how do we focus and direct, you know, public funding into the areas of need, consistent with what the objectives of the measure was. So,
and that process is multifaceted, I would presume.
Correct. Yeah. So we project, you know, staff, you know, gives our feedback. The public has a chance to kind of give what their highest priorities are. Committee kind of weighs that. We kind of mold.
So this is commenting on what's already in the hopper.
Tonight will be a kind of an opportunity for the public to come forward and bring us new fodder to consider too.
Always doing battle, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay away from the briquettes. Stay away from the gas. Yeah, because those things go boom. At least until you get both things running.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
All right.
See everybody tomorrow.